Our scripture today comes from Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 6 from the New Living Translation. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, hello, Christ Church, and all of our friends joining us today. I'm so glad you're with us for online worship. If you're on Facebook or the website, say hello to other friends in the comment section, the chat. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, remember, we want to hear from you. We want to pray for you, so send them to us. If you want to follow along with my outline, remember, you can do that on the website or the Christ Church app. So here are some questions. When was the last time you had the joy of serving someone else? When was the last time you saw a smile come across the face of a person you cared for? There's just nothing like the feeling of making a difference in someone else's life. Today we're continuing our series, Transformed Life. We've seen that it's commitment that primes the pump that makes it possible for God's living water to begin to flow through us. And prayer helps the water of God's Spirit to flow freely through us. And our presence in worship helps us and the body of Christ to be stronger in all that God wants it to be. Our giving helps free us from obsession with money and enables us to prove God is real. And He will open the floodgates of heaven and pour out blessings upon us and take care of our needs. Today, I want to talk about another aspect of the transformed life, serving. Post serving in the chat. Serving is an essential dimension of the Christian life. It's not an option. Rather, it's what we're called to do. Some people want to attend church simply to be fed the Word of God. Feed me, feed me. But if individuals don't use caution, they could develop spiritual obesity because they're always being fed but are never active. The purpose of worship, praying, being part of the church is not to simply sit and soak. We're called to action. We're called to get up and to go out and serve. Why? Serving is such an important dimension of the Christian life because God serves us. Jesus came to be a servant. In Matthew 20:28, He said, "For even I, the Son of Man, came here not to be served, but to serve others, and to give my life as a ransom for many." In following Him, we are called to imitate Jesus. Jesus serves us, and He expects us to serve others. Mark 10:42, Jesus told His disciples, "You know that in this world, kings are tyrants, and officials lord it over the people beneath them. But among you, it should be quite different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all." This expectation Jesus has for us as His bride, the body of Christ, is that we are to serve others. Now, here's an interesting sidelight to that. When we serve in the name of Jesus and reach out to others, it gives us credibility as His messengers. Our serving improves our message. If we're to become effective sowers of the message of Jesus, one of the best ways to fertilize the soil in which that seed can be planted is to serve. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:19, "I have become a servant of everyone so that I can bring them to Christ. When we serve others, we open the door of opportunity for the message of Christ to be shared. Peter pointed out in 1 Peter 3:1, your godly lives will speak to them better than any words. They will be won over by watching your pure, godly behavior. You see, the best sermons are seldom preached from the pulpit. The best sermons are the sidewalk sermons preached by God's people when we leave the sanctuary and go out into the world, where we reach out and we touch human lives. What we do oftentimes speaks more loudly than anything we say. Here's another aspect of this all-important concept. Serving others is an essential dimension of the Christian life because it brings us together, post together in the chat. The New Testament concept of the church is that we are the body of Christ, the community of faith that gathers together and serves together. We are composed of many different types of people. If there's someone there with you online, tell them, you are different, that's for sure. Our church is composed of many different types of people with many different gifts, but the whole function of service brings us together. One of the best witnesses we can give to the community is coming together in love and care for others. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:9, we work together as partners who belong to God. And in Ephesians 4:16, he said, under his direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts to grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. How did Jesus build team spirit among his disciples? Jesus went about serving as he brought the disciples along, and they became inseparable in their love, encouragement, and support of one another. Our serving gives us credibility as messengers for Christ, and it also brings us together as a team. And teams can get a lot more accomplished than individuals. Now, granted that we need to be serving, let me ask a very important question. Where should I serve? I promise you there is a place for every person in the life of the church to use his or her God-given gifts for something very meaningful. Here are just a few suggestions of how to determine where we should serve. First, we should serve where we can use the gifts and abilities that God has given us. On a football team, the quarterback has different gifts than the lineman, whose gifts are different than the receivers. What if every other play or so you had a lineman switch positions with the quarterback? QB, you go up there and block. Lineman, you drop back to throw a pass. Or, hey lineman, you run 50 yards deep into the end zone for the pass. That probably wouldn't be too effective. So it is with us. We will best serve where we can use our gifts most effectively. Part of the church's task is to help people discover their gifts and to provide opportunities to use them. In Romans 12, 6 through 8, Paul said, God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a good teacher, do a good job of teaching. If your gift is to encourage others, do it. If you have money, share it generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. One of my greatest joys is to see people prayerfully discover their gifts and talents for ministry. If you don't know what yours are, we have a simple spiritual gift inventory at the Connect Center that's helpful. You want to use the gifts and the abilities God has given you. Here's another aside. One of the big issues we hear about volunteering today is burnout. Sometimes it does happen, burnout, if we're serving too much or we're outside of our gifting. But burnout is avoided if we're serving in the areas we love. If I'm in my area of giftedness, I don't burn out. I just get fired up because I'm thriving and the whole experience is energizing. The worst burnout experience that I had in sports happened in track. I went out for track in ninth grade, and my coach had me run the high hurdles and the 440 yard dash. They call it a dash, but if you know that race, it is a grind. Oh my gosh, both of them were difficult races for me. I really didn't have the build or the skill set either. I mean, high hurdles, have you seen how tall I am? But hey, the coach said, "Bob, that's where I really need you." And so I struggled all year long in practice and the meets, and the result, my career in track ended after just 1 year. We should serve where we can be ourselves, where we have giftedness, and we can use our past experience to God's glory. All of us have been through some tough trials, and coming through them has given us a unique message to share and a lesson to teach. In 2 Corinthians 1:4, Paul writes, "He, God, comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others. When others are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us." I've noticed that often the people who are most effective at serving in the life of the church are those who've been through some things, who've been through maybe something very tough, a big trial or a terrible circumstance. Coming through it has taught them how to serve others who might be going through the same situation. We should also serve where there is a need we can fill. One of the most effective things any church can do is to find out where there is a need and then let people who are gifted in that area volunteer to meet that need. We've done that a lot around here at Christ Church. It's part of our DNA. Think about all the needs-based ministries we've had over the years. Widow Widowers, Celebrate Recovery, Phoenix Singles, Divorce Recovery, Grief Share, Cancer Support, Hurting Parents. Our recent Life Connection groups have been a new expression of finding a need and then gathering a group of people to help address that need. Where should we serve? Where God has gifted us, where we've had past experiences, and where there are needs that we can address. But sometimes we're still not sure. Watch this.
You know, sometimes I find myself wondering where I fit in the grand scheme of things. It's like, I want to be used by God, but I'm not sure how. I don't know where to serve. I'm not a brilliant doctor or an eloquent speaker. I'm not really a teacher or someone who... Oh, no, sorry, not me. I don't do Sunday school. No, kids don't like me. I don't know why. Where was I? Oh, right, where could I serve? I'm not a missionary. Now, see, now that's a purpose. That's something I could be excited about. You know, I think we all feel like this sometimes, but the fact of the matter is that all around us there are people in need and places that we can serve. It's easy to miss those simple and beautiful ways that we could be used by God. Oh, no, I don't do hospital visits. No, sorry. I've got a weak stomach. Yikes. Oh, you don't want me praying for you. I can't string two sentences together. No, that's not my calling. No, sorry. Calling. You know, we use that word calling a lot. What's my calling in life? Oh. Yuck! I'm not cleaning the bathroom. Oh, what's my calling? I'm a professional athlete. I mean, not yet, but I will be.
Yeah, sometimes we just need to get up and do something. One last thing. How should we serve? I would say this, enthusiastically. In Romans 12:11, we read, "Never be lazy in your work, but serve the Lord enthusiastically." When people are enthusiastic about what they do in the life of the church, it becomes an invitation for others to come and see. Those who are most enthusiastic about sharing their faith are also the most enthusiastic about serving. Sadly, in the average church, it's been estimated that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. That's a huge problem. We should have 50 or 75 or 100% of the people involved. Every member is to be a minister, and the church should help every person to get involved, finding the place where God wants him or her to serve. Here at Christ Church, we keep track of it. So far this year, 69% of our active members have been involved in some kind of ministry. Now, that's pretty good, but it means that 31% of us haven't served in ministry so far this year, and we're all needed. In fact, we're going to need a lot of help with Christmas on the corner, December the 11th. You can sign up out at the Connect Center. Here's a side benefit of everyone having opportunities to serve: less complaining. When people are involved and enthusiastic about where they serve, they rarely complain or gripe. As the old saying goes, people rowing the boat rarely have time to rock the boat. When people are enthusiastically serving, they don't look for things that are wrong. They look for things that are right. Here's what I've discovered. The loudest complainers in any church or organization are often the least involved. Another way that we should serve is with humility. We're not placed above others. We serve as Jesus served. In 1 Peter 5:5, the scripture says, "All of you serve each other in humility. For God sets himself against the proud, but he shows favor to the humble." One of the most beautiful mental pictures that I have of Jesus is him kneeling to wash his disciples' feet. In the church, we're not to look for the top, we're to look for a towel, a place where we can serve with humility. I appreciate every behind-the-scenes ministry that we have here at Christ Church, and everyone happily serving there and getting things done. Behind the scenes, but getting it done. Finally, we should serve intending to please God alone. The point of serving in the life of the church is not to please people or to draw attention to ourselves. We want to get our name in the newsletter or the e-blast because of something we're doing. That's the wrong motivation. If, however, we're serving simply to please God, we'll receive joy that's greater than we could even begin to imagine. 2 Corinthians 6:8 says, "We are to serve God, whether people honor us or despise us, whether they slander us or praise us." Serving is at the very heart of how we express our Christian faith, opening doors through which we can be a messenger of Christ. The more we lose ourselves in serving God, the more we will discover about ourselves. The more we give, the more we receive. Each member of the body of Christ is a minister. Every member should be given the opportunity to find a niche in which to serve. When we're losing our lives in serving Christ, then we're doing what God has called us to do and opening up natural opportunities for witness. I'm doing this because I love God and I love my neighbor. Serving others is offering a drink of the water of life to others. Jesus said in Matthew 10:42, "If anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, they will certainly not lose their reward." Serving is still what we want to be focused on during this time, when we're also, as a church, trying to discern God's will and direction for our congregation. We're praying about that, but let's be serving and praying as we're seeking God about direction too. Amen? Amen. Hey, before we close, I just want to ask each of us to focus on something as well. Next Sunday is Stewardship Sunday. I'm really excited about it. It marks the culmination of our six-week series, and we're going to celebrate. It's also when we'll have an opportunity to specifically commit to how we'll support our church with our prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness in the new year. As you reflect on this Transformed Life series, prayerfully search your heart and think about how you have been transformed by God. Ask God, where, what, and how do you want me to commit my transformed life here at Christ United Methodist? And then we'll all have the opportunity to commit, turning in cards in person or online too. That's next Sunday or any time between now and then. Amen? Amen. Hey, let's pray together. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, gracious Lord, we thank you for the call to serve others as part of experiencing the transformed life. We serve others because you serve us. You sent Jesus into the world not to be served, but to serve. And you've given us gifts and talents. And when we use them to serve others, we experience great joy and blessing. Lord, help us to discover our gifts and to find our niche, our place of service. Help us to serve with enthusiasm as well as humility. Serving is simply offering others a drink of the water of life that we have experienced. May we do it well, and may we do it often. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed, and everyone said, amen, amen. Hey, if you want to visit with me about the message, I would love to hear from you. If you have a prayer request or praise reports, you know, we want to pray for one another, so send them to us. We want to hear from you. Hey, thank you again for your generosity, your ongoing gifts. Continue to help us to do our mission, to reach people, new people for Jesus, and help them to grow and help them to go serve in His world. You can go online to use it to leave a gift, use the app or the website anytime. Hey, be sure to take advantage of our discipleship opportunities. Find all the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember this, Jesus came not to be served, but to serve others. And when we serve Jesus and others out of our giftedness and love, everyone is blessed. So, boldly use your gifts serving others in Jesus' name.
The Invisible Man and the Invisible Woman got married, and they had kids.
Oh yeah? What are they like?
Nothing to look at.
Join the Christ Church Explorers for Friendsgiving on Wednesday, November 16th at 11:30 a.m. We will gather to give thanks to God for our blessings and share a wonderful meal of pulled pork. Bring a side to share and enjoy the music of the New Tulsans, a well-loved Southern gospel quartet. There is no cost for this event. Sign up at the Connect Center.
Next Sunday is Stewardship Sunday. God has blessed us in so many ways with His amazing love. In response, we have an opportunity to express our faith and gratitude in a tangible way. Members and friends are invited to turn in our annual Stewardship Estimate of Giving. Your generosity and bold faith help us make these plans for the coming year. Thank you for your prayers and your participation in the process.
The Men's Ministry Breakfast is Saturday, November 10th from 8 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. Our speaker will be Eddie Gill. Eddie and his wife Patty have been members of Christ Church for years. God led them to begin a motorcycle ministry that has taken them places they have never imagined. Today, God has placed them at Freedom Point Campground in Wagner, Oklahoma area off Lake Fort Gibson. Eddie will plan to share the exciting news of how God is using the camp to win souls for Christ.
You can find all of this information and more on our website, cumctulsa.com.
Hello, I'm David Wolf, Chair of the Finance Board. My friends, the staff and Finance Board here at Christ Church take our stewardship responsibility very seriously. On the expense side of the budget, we want to be the best stewards of the financial gifts you so generously give us. For our proposed 2023 budget, we have tried to hold the expenses to the current year levels. But inflation has been a challenge for all of us this year. So we have had to add inflation increases to some of our expense categories. We believe this approach to the expense budget will allow us to adequately fund the ministries and missions of Christ Church. We base the income side of the budget on what you tell us your estimate of giving will be in the coming year. Please help us to get an accurate estimate for next year's budget by returning your estimate of giving card during our stewardship campaign. Remember, this is not a pledge or a promise to give. It is just an estimate to help us produce the best budget we can. May God bless you and keep you during these challenging economic times.